When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Number retirement? I don't know. Not too many 63s. So it's. I feel like you could do that one pretty safely without having to worry about somebody being like, damn, I wanted to be 63. But
hello, everyone, and welcome to the Brews and Bruins podcast, the Hockey Podcast Network podcast, presented by Bruins Diehards and PWHL Boston Diehards, and DraftKings, promo code THPN. Do it.
Yeah, they're the ones that actually pay us.
So. Yeah, exactly.
I started mentioning them earlier. I don't know.
But yeah, we're going to cover some good stuff. Oh, I'm Drew. We got Cam. No Chris. Ooh. No one else to replace Chris, so here we are. Tonight, Brad Marchand will play his one. Wait, do you have a drink? We're both on non.
I'm drinking some Market Basket Black Cherry Seltzer. I think I've talked up Market Basket enough for no free ads. Hashtag no free ads in the podcast. But their seltzer is really good for name brand seltzer. So, all right, would that be store brand seltzer? Good stuff.
Yeah, I got some Portland tap water that's gone through a Brita. So
nice.
Anyway, as I was saying, you know, Brad Marchand 1,000th game tonight. We're about 2 hours away from puck drop. 1 hour. Any thoughts on his career like thus far? And you know, he's evolved so much as a player from, you know, he's still kind of a pest, but like, you know.
Yeah, but like really one of I think the wildest career arcs that we've seen in the National Hockey League in my lifetime for sure. I think when he first broke onto the team 2011, right? I don't think he played at all in 2010. I think I don't know, maybe he did technically. I think he was a rookie in 2011. I'm pretty sure, right?
I'm looking right now.
Appeared to be your kind of typical, you know, third, maybe fourth line pest. You know, I think you could see pretty early on that he had some speed. He had a pretty good hockey sense, especially in the offensive zone. But I think if you had told any of us at that point, or any Bruins or hockey fan, that he was going to be the team captain, replacing Patrice Bergeron in one of their leading scorers 13 years later, I think everybody would have probably called you out on that, and rightfully so. Very rarely do you see a player who has that kind of transformational career, really, from a skill standpoint. Now, again, I don't want to make it sound like he didn't have any skill coming into the league. Like, I think the Bruins did well in identifying him as somebody who can come in and play that pest role, but who has a higher upside. But I think if any Bruins, you know, exec or scout told you that he had the upside, or that they foresaw him having this much of an upside at that point, they'd be fucking lying to your face. No. Obviously the asterisk for Marchand has been discipline over the course of his career. Rightfully so. He's done some stupid things over the course of his career, but at the end of the day, I think he's a Hall of Famer. I think he's one of the keystones to the Bruins' success over the last decade and a half, really, at this point. And number retirement? I don't know. Not too many 63s. So it's. I feel like you could do that one pretty safely without having to worry about somebody being like, damn, I wanted to be 63. But I think zooming in on this season, I think he's done an incredible role of replacing as much as you can Patrice Bergeron from a leadership perspective. And from a wider career standpoint, I'm sure Marshy would be the first one to tell you that the only reason he is the player he is today is because he was stapled to Bergeron's hip for a decade, really. But Yeah, I mean, a guy who has made it to where he is today through a lot of hard work, a dedication to his craft, and one of the players that you can, like, you know, again, I know people have had their issues with him on the ice and stuff, but you can safely say is actually a really good person off the ice, it seems like, from everything that the average fan can see. Seems like he's got a great personality and has his head on his shoulders. And yeah, somebody who I think a lot of Bruins fans are proud of. He's the you know, quintessential, like, if he's on your team, you love him. If he's on another team, you probably hate him kind of thing. But I think a lot of level-headed hockey fans across the league would hold him in a pretty high regard and respect him, which is kind of interesting to say considering the suspension history and stuff he's had. Again, I think he's cleaned it up for the most part over the last few seasons, and especially this year, obviously, with wearing the C and everything. A guy who definitely wears his heart on his sleeve, always has, but I think who is garnering a lot of respect across the league and you know, from a fan perspective, from a player perspective. I think there's a lot of teams out there who would like to have Brad Marchand in their ranks for sure, and a lot of players as well. So just an incredible career. Again, so unusual, the arc of it, as somebody who just appeared to be kind of that lower line pest guy and has really established himself as one of the consistently best, most talented players on the ice, and maybe the best shorthanded goal scorer of all time. I mean, this guy has an unbelievable knack for netting shorthanded goals, and a really solid two-way player. Again, the credit Bergeron for a lot of that. I'm sure he would, but yeah, special career for sure. And I think he's got a few more years in him. We'll see. He's still producing like he does. Doesn't seem like he wants to slow down anytime soon. You know, who knows what's going on personally and things like that. But, you know, I hope he can continue to lead this team for the next few seasons, because his play definitely deserves it. And, you know, I think his role within the locker room is definitely pretty obvious. So, yeah, well-deserved.
Just to set the record straight, he was a rookie in the 2010-11 season. He finished 12th for the Calder, but he did appear in 20 games in the 09-10 season, where he registered 1 point. 1 point in 20 games. And now what, he stands at 910 points in 999 games. Mm-hmm. If he scores a hat trick tonight, then he'll hit 400 goals. Just pretty incredible stuff.
Yeah.
And just, like, definitely like a cornerstone of the Bruins over the past, I don't even know how long, over a decade and a half now, I guess, 2009 being the start. And
I mean, you look at the players who have skated 1,000 games in Bruins history, and I think the list itself kind of is indicative of how much he means to this franchise. Obviously, Ray Bourque at number one, 1,518 games. Awesome. Johnny Busick at above 1,400. Bergeron, little under 13. Don Sweeney, 1,052. Krejci, 1,032. Wayne Cashman, 1,027. Big Z, 1,023. And now Marchand at 1,000. Is going to finish his career, you know, with more games played in a Bruins sweater than Zdeno Chara, than David Krejci, probably than, well, we'll see about Bergeron. Depends how many more seasons he plays and stuff. But, yeah, just an incredible journey. I think somebody should make a documentary about his career when it's over, because it is a very unique story. And a guy who really came on right off the bat, too. Again, like, I think it's obvious that the Bruins, to some extent, wanted him for that kind of pesky role, but, like, he was electric in that first playoff and scored a goal in game 7 of the Cup final. He had 19 points in 25 postseason games as a rookie. Like, that's a guy who clearly has some upside. And did he have 2 goals in game 7? I think he had scored twice in game 7, didn't he, against Vancouver? I'm pretty sure.
I don't know.
Yeah, he did. Here we go, looking it up. But, I think a guy who is going to naturally kind of be perpetually underrated by a lot of the league from a skill standpoint, just because he has the reputation of wrongly not being a skill first player. But probably deserves on a regular basis more credit than he's gotten. And again, we've talked about how much Bergeron and Krejci anchored the Bruins for 10 years down the center. Brad Marchand belongs in that conversation. Absolutely. He was mm-hmm. the guy who was producing at a pretty similar rate for the better part of 10 years. And a guy who I think just has a very unique style of play. Like when Marchand's on the ice, you can silhouette him out and you can tell it's him, like not just because he's short, but like, you know, the way he chases pucks, the way he fights, the way puck battles for a guy that small, he wins way more puck battles than he should, kind of thing. One-on-ones, much bigger guys. Just such a fun player to watch from when he's on your team again, especially. I get it, maybe not so much the other side. You know, somebody who I think at this point especially is really appreciated in Boston, but probably could have been appreciated a little bit more by the league as a whole over the course of 1,000 games here.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. Yeah, I guess moving into another topic, the Morgan Riley suspension. He's already been suspended?
I think the hearing was a little while ago, so I think it was this afternoon.
It could be up to
I'm not
five
sure
games.
If it's actually been announced. Yeah, that was something, wasn't it? yeah, I mean, I think, you know, the response from Toronto fans and media has been a bit predictable. I find it honestly a little bit embarrassing for their organization that their head coach came out today and kind of bought into the conspiracy that there's a different set of rules for the Toronto Maple Leafs and such. And oh, you know, we get suspended more than other teams. Like, I'm sorry, the National Hockey League is not out to get its most valuable franchise in its most hockey crazed market that, by the way, hasn't fucking won anything in any, you know, any time recently. Like, it's not like this is a team where it's like a dynasty. We need to slow them down. Like, if anything, the NHL would benefit a lot from the Toronto Maple Leafs doing well. Like, they're not, there's no grand conspiracy against the Leafs here. So to come out and kind of peddle that conspiracy, I thought was hilarious. And honestly, just pretty sad and a sign of kind of desperation for Toronto. Look, you can think what you want about the slap shot in the empty net. I personally thought it was fucking hilarious, especially for, like, you know, a guy who's breaking the league, trying to make a name for himself as a pest kind of thing. Two teams that, yeah, are supposed to hate each other. Battle of Ontario, right? Like, you get the chance to, like, stick it in on somebody like that.
Mm-hmm.
Go for it. Who's it hurting? You know what I mean? He's not attacking somebody. He's not going after somebody. It's not dangerous. It's not a dangerous mm-hmm. play. He took a clapper into an empty net. Was it against the unwritten rules of hockey? Sure. Was it fucking awesome? Yeah, absolutely. You know, I absolutely think Morgan Riley has every right to respond to that. I don't think cross-checking a guy in the chin or whatever the fuck it was is the way to go about it. I feel like, you know, give him a hard slash to the shins and maybe, you know, face wash him into the glass and, you know, tell him to keep his head up for next game or something like that would be maybe a little bit more acceptable. Definitely, I think, went over the line there and deserves to be suspended. I don't think there's any play in hockey that calls for a cross check straight to the face. That's very dangerous. We'll see what happens. Honestly, I think the fact that people, you know, that we have to, that Ryan Reaves is back on Twitter this week talking about how much of a difference he'd make. Again, I think there's been plenty of commentary on Twitter about it, but I can't remember the last time I actually saw Ryan Reaves do something relevant on the ice. I think the only thing I've seen him in the last 2 years is like post game press conferences where he talks about how tough he is. Like, good for you, Ryan Reaves. It's nobody cares. Tough week for the Leafs all in all. None of this has shaken out, I think, the way that they would hope it would. And the fact that even a couple days later, with maybe a chance to breathe on it and reflect a little bit more, that our third partner in crime here, Chris, is still catching tweets back from angry Leafs fans to his comment about how if it was Brad Marchand, they'd have a different reaction. the fact that he's still getting flamed here by Toronto fans, I think, is pretty symbolic of the wider situation. And I think there's a lot of, we'll say, generalizations about Leafs fans that maybe the rest of hockey fans might think about them. And this week certainly hasn't gone so far to prove those wrong, I would say, for Toronto fans. I think at some point you got to learn to stop digging the hole, but it's been entertaining.
I think he cross-checked him in the face, uncalled for suspension. I think if he had his hands, I don't know, like a foot lower or 6 inches lower and, you know, gives him a hit in the shoulder, I think that's fair game. You know, you give the guy a shove, you say fuck you or whatever. Probably something a little worse than that, but we'll save that for mic'd up editions of the NHL.
And again, like I totally agree. Like there absolutely should be a response. I think the slap shot was awesome. Do it again. I would love to see more. I want to see, I think Chris brought it up, I'd love to see somebody Michigan an empty net. That'd be fucking hilarious. I think the response, a response was warranted. I just don't think you can go out and do that. It's just like, you know,
yeah,
you got to tone it in, but
totally.
What are you going to do? DraftKings?
DraftKings. Do you have it up?
I can in a sec. After DraftKings, we're going to talk a little Beanpot.
Yeah, I'm thinking a little bit of Beanpot before we wrap up.
Beanpot. All right.
Because I have to get back to work.
Oh, yeah, baby. DraftKings ain't paying us that much.
Mm-mm.
Well, the one thing that DraftKings is doing is, I guess, still paying us some. We know hockey games move fast, but with DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NHL, you can score faster than anything happening on the ice. This week, new customers can bet $5 and get $200 instantly in bonus bets. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app with promo code THPN. New customers can bet you $5 on any NHL game and get $200 instantly in bonus bets only on DraftKings Sportsbook with promo code THPN. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.1800gambler.net. New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369 in Connecticut. Help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-879-8777. That's not right. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly on behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas. 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/hockey for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources. NHL and the NHL Shield are registered trademarks of the National Hockey League. Copyright NHL 2024. All rights reserved. Yeah. There you go. Drew's struggling over there.
I swallowed some water wrong. So.
See, if we had a couple of brewskis, you wouldn't have to worry about that. But
it's the NHL Shield always gets me, man.
Yeah. Beanpot, though, another awesome tournament. Great final game.
A bunch of OT games.
Yeah, like which you love to see. Garden was packed. I feel like, you know, obviously as a Boston area hockey fan, it's something you always look forward to. And as a general hockey fan, college hockey fan, it's always exciting. Shouts to Northeastern, you know, not getting the respect from the national rankings this year, but getting it done in the Beanpot again. I think that's what they're
five of the last six. Yeah.
Five of the last six is crazy. I think they've been in the final for however many years in a row now. It did sting me a little bit that my guy with the best name in college hockey, Gunnar Wolf-Fontaine, former RPI commit, scored the OT winner in both the semifinal and the final game. That being said, any way to get more exposure for college hockey and a guy named Gunnar Wolf-Fontaine tucking two in overtime in the Beanpot, I mean, that's going to end up across the internet. So that was awesome. But yeah, I love college hockey, so it's always awesome to see. Obviously, you know, these mid-season tournaments, I feel like there used to be a lot more of them in college hockey, a lot of holiday season tournaments and stuff. A lot of those have kind of gone away, you know, as the league's sort of expanded more. But this has been the one that's always been a staple. And what do they say, like 60-something years now or something, or 70 mm-hmm. years? I forget exactly what it was.
So that was the 71st.
Yeah. That's so cool. I mean, obviously
sponsored
so
by Duncan.
Yeah. So much tradition there. And I'm sure that's a huge selling point for players, too, who are interested in coming in to any of those schools, is the opportunity to play in that tournament. And it feels like it never disappoints. Like, you never get any duds in the bean pod, bad games. I feel like it's always going to be good stuff. And certainly no exception this year. So shouts to the Huskies for getting it done. We'll see if, BU bounces back. I know they have obviously national title. There's sights set on the national title for this year. So ultimately that's going to be the big one, the last laugh, but yeah, awesome to see Northeastern get it done, and congrats to them.
Yeah, I think what was interesting too in the championship game, like Northeastern after the first by the time Northeastern scored two goals, they only had six shots on net. That was like in the second period. Like BU was just humming all over them. And then, I forget the BU goaltender's name, but, goes up two goals on six shots, and those two goals both went through him. One went off like the inside of his pad and then went to another forward for Northeastern to just basically, put it in an empty net from there. And then there was another one that went through him. Yeah, I think he just had a pretty rough night. In the third period, Northeastern kind of came back and it was a pretty even game. But those first two periods, they were like, I don't know what the possession stats were. Based on shots, I think BU had like double, almost triple what they had through two periods. Yeah. It's kind of nuts. A great way to finish it. No T. I love how for the Beanpot, TD Garden has like the banner ready right away. So they just like raise it.
Yeah.
That's kind of cool.
Yeah. I like that. I wonder what they do with all of them. I don't think they're all up there. I mean, that'd be a lot of banners.
No, they just changed the bottom, what it says. Have the banner that says Beanpot Champions, and it has all four teams' logos, and then it has, like, on the bottom, 2024 Champs Northeastern, whatever. But, yeah, pretty impressive stuff, and the thing I love about it most is, like, it's really how are you playing those two games,
Yeah.
Anyone can win no matter where they're ranked, so... in Northeastern, great example of that. I think they're like 500. I think they were like 12-12 or 13-12 during the game.
I think they were a little above. They were ranked
like 19-7. Northeastern's not ranked.
I thought they were ranked like maybe not.
On the broadcast, they didn't have them ranked, and I looked this morning, and they weren't ranked on USCHO.
Okay, interesting. Maybe they were just receiving votes. Maybe they were unofficial ranked, but
I don't know. Pretty cool stuff. The way it shakes up, don't know what's gonna happen. So.
Yeah. I mean, you talk about the NHL playoffs, right? All you gotta do is get in to have a chance, and these teams are always seeing it every year. All you gotta do is win two games. It's six period of hockey, or I guess eight periods of hockey in this case. But I will say I get not doing it for a mid-season tournament, but I do wish that overtime was like a full-on like 5-on-5 20-minute periods, go till somebody wins kind of thing.
Yeah.
That being said, it was still entertaining, and yeah, great game. So
yeah,
you love to see absolutely. It. Here's the more college hockey.
More beans. Love beans.
more college hockey and more pots via beans. Or beans via pots, I guess. But yeah.
Awesome. Well, if that's it, I think that's all she wrote. This whole podcast was written by somebody. It's a script.
Yeah,
all she wrote.
Now,
So now we have to end it. Thanks for all you do. Listening and downloading. Hey, want to download it? Want to go to DraftKings? Use code THPN. Want to? Go to our website, brewsandbruins.com. Follow us on X at Brews and Bruins. You can follow us on Instagram at Brews and Bruins. Threads. We're on Threads. I don't know. Just
we're on filler. Gmail.
brewsandbruins@gmail.com. You can text Cam at...
Thank you.